You know, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, it's talking about how that whenever God Almighty got ready to create a human being that was in the image of God Almighty himself. And then what he does is he gets together, and the Bible says that God formed man out of the dust or the dirt of the earth, and then he breathed into it. And I was actually out at Redemption Ranch this week, and I had all my pastors out there, and I was talking to them about the difference between a dirt ministry and a breath ministry. Because all we got to work with is dirt and breath, and that's all that we have to offer. Now, the Lord is not ashamed of our dirt. In fact, if his presence is in it, he calls it holy ground. And you know what, guys? Holy ground should also bear holy fruit. We should be the kind of people that, hey, we're not trying to show you that we're flawless, but we are trying to show you that there's much fruit in the ground that God Almighty has given us. And that just means that our lives need to look a whole lot more like heaven than it looks like hell. And that also means that, yeah, man, I'm not saying that there's not dirt here, but I'm saying, man, you don't want to miss the breath. When I look at ministries, what I look at, what I'm always looking for is fruit. I'm not looking for style. I'm not looking for any of those things because I'm unique. I got my own gig. Everybody else has got their own gig. And I'm not looking for any of those things. But, dude, I'm looking for breath and I'm looking for fruit. And I want to encourage you, man, to do the same exact thing. I want to encourage you to be somebody who says, I'm not just dirt, man. I've got the breath of God up on this dirt, which means King Jesus can redeem absolutely anything and cause any of it to bear good fruit. Hey, as you go through your week this week, I want to encourage you, man, to be looking at bearing much fruit in the dirt that there's breath on it. Hey, don't forget, guys, that if you need prayer or if you need a friend, you can always call us at 877-413-0888. I call you blessed. Bye.
Amen. Amen. What a good word from Pastor Troy. Guys, if you missed that, that was posted across the social media this past Sunday. It was a Sunday moment, we call those, and we do those every single week. And it's just a time for Pastor Troy to share a download from the Holy Spirit that he's been getting. So if you missed that, wanted to share that with you because I got so much from that. And I knew that it was going to bless you. I know it's going to bless you. So let's just see in the comments right now. Amen. If that resonated with your spirit today, welcome to the Pulse, guys. My name is Shay Wilbur. I'm the media director of all things Open Door Church and in this house here. And I am sitting in Pastor Troy's chair today, but don't worry, we have a word for you from Pastor Troy that I know is going to build your faith today and is going to give you tools to actually step out in faith and activate you in a new way. So you are here for such a time as this. It's going to be a good day. It's going to be a good episode of The Pulse today. So I'm really glad that you've joined us from wherever you're tuning in from. Let us know where you're watching from. We always love to see all the different continents and countries represented. We always have our family in Africa and South Africa and Germany and Ireland. We've got family all over the world and we love to see you guys joining us. So thank you for doing that. We're going to get into some quick announcements, but let me just welcome the lovely Rebecca to the suite. Pastor Rebecca, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's a great day. I'm excited with everything that's happening. And yesterday's word, Pastor's Sunday moments are one of my favorites, and it's amazing. And this past weekend with the pastor's retreat, it was so good.
Oh, yeah. You went on the pastor's retreat.
It was really, really good. And it really just, the Lord just speaks to you in a way of like seeing it with a different lens.
Yeah.
And when you're in the quiet and when you consecrate yourself and I'm like, okay, God, am I breathing breath or am I just throwing out dirt somewhere?
That's so good.
So it was really, really good. So I was really excited that he did that Sunday moment.
Yeah, yeah, man. It sounded, when I talked to you after the pastor's retreat, you were like, we have to record Pastor Troy giving that whole download. So maybe that'll be coming soon.
Yeah.
Some type of like pastor's tools or something like that. Because I always love when he pours into us.
Yes.
And I think just from what you said, it sounded like it was an incredible time.
It's great to get poured into and get refreshed and reset for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
Well, you guys are going to get even more refreshment and resetting today with the word we're going to get to in a minute. But wanted to just give you a quick ministry update on a bunch of different things that we have going on. If you saw our show last week, you know we are praying for Mimi. And she is one of the moms of this house. And we love her so much. That's love her on the left with Pastor Leanna. Okay. And she has been in the hospital recovering from a crazy brain aneurysm that really almost took her out.
Yeah.
And the doctors were not hopeful and their report was not good, but God intervened, and as he continues to intervene. And wow. So we just want to let you all know, I know if you joined us last week, we were really wrecked over all this, and we're in such prayer. So please, if you joined us last week in praying for Mimi, please continue to do that this week, because she's still recovering. She's out of the ICU, which is a huge answer to prayer. Mm-hmm. She's able to eat as well. I know she asked for like a Whataburger. Whataburger. I was like, okay, she's getting back for sure.
We're all getting teary eye because I don't want to think about,
I know. She is such a miracle. Mm-hmm. And but she's still receiving her healing. So we cannot let up. We need to continue praying, and for her recovery, she's still got a ways to go, but she is doing better. So Amen. Thank the Lord for that. So, so thankful for that.
Yeah, we're so happy.
Also want to let you guys know, Pastor Troy has been so busy. He's been on so many other shows. Mm-hmm. He was on Unclassified. He was on Elijah Force. A lot of those interviews aired last week. And so I want to let you know that you can watch those all back at odx.tv. So if you're watching us on YouTube or social media right now, and you're like, what is that? That's our video on demand platform that you can join and have access to our content 24/7. So head on over to odx.tv. Check that out. Join us as a stage two or stage three partner there. And when you do, that money actually helps us rescue kids all across the globe. And mm-hmm. if you're new here, we do all of this. We do media so we can rescue kids and be on the front lines of rescue, no matter what is going on, no matter where that is. And guys, just this past week, there was a huge flood again in Kerrville, which is in Southern Texas. Mm-hmm. The crazy thing is you didn't hear about this on the headlines. You didn't hear about this in news. And our rescuers said that it was actually worse than what happened last year. And last year there was incredible damage, incredible flooding there. And look at this. This is crazy. So our team of rescuers, they were actually, our operators were en route to search for some missing girls. What? And then they got the call that, and that's some people that we work with right there, actually in the floods, rescuing people. I think they were helping to clear debris and just seeing where the need was, because that's what we do. But our operators were en route searching for missing girls. And then they heard about this flooding in the hill country that they needed immediate help. So we have this team of canine rescuers that we partner with. So we sent the canine operators to search for the missing girls. And then our guys went down to the hill country to assist with a water rescue. And over several days, our team served in five flood-affected cities. Our operators, guys, they do more than just rescue kids. We go to the front lines of wherever the need is. And we actually have our pastor, Chris, who we call him our pastor of disaster. He's still there, along with more members of our team. And he sent us this video, guys. Check this out.
Hey, y'all. So, Pastor Chris here. We're down in the hill country. And, you know, the good thing about this time, the loss of life was nowhere near what it was last year, right? And so, what we're looking at mainly during this event is just loads of cleanup and meeting with families who need some help. And so that's what we're here for. Here in a second, we're gonna be meeting up with Operation Blessing and seeing where we can deploy with them tomorrow and go from there. So anyway, here we are, open doors down here at the Hill Country again, just trying to serve and be the hands and feet of Jesus. So there you go.
Wow.
I love it.
I love him.
I love Pastor Chris. I love seeing the work in action. Guys, when you partner with us, you are literally enabling us to do this. And we go to the front lines wherever there is a need. Mm-hmm. So thank you to every single person who stands with us, who partners with us. We just appreciate it so much because we're able to do stuff like that. We're able to just, there's a flood, there's a need. We deploy our team.
Absolutely.
We send, a lot of times we send we have a big truck that we'll pack full of food and we'll send it down there from our food bank. So there's so much work to be done in the kingdom. And guys, we're doing it because of partners like you. So thank you for partnering with us. And if you want to get involved, if you haven't done that yet, you can give us a call 877-413-0888. You can partner with us there. That's actually our 24/7 call center. We can pray with you. We can tell you more about our ministry, whatever your need is. Guys, call that number and just get to know us a little bit more. And we would love to have you as part of our ministry family and part of our ODX family, our partners. We love you and we love everyone in our call center. Shout out to our whole call center. You guys are so incredible and you really help us be the hands and feet of Jesus more because of the work that you do. So thank you to all of our amazing call center people that are there waiting to talk to you listening today. So, all right, we're going to dive in. We're going to get theological today, guys. I hope you're ready for it. Get ready to take notes. We've got an amazing message from Pastor Troy, mm-hmm. and we're talking about the difference between faith for salvation and faith that moves mountains. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want the faith that moves mountains. Absolutely. I do want the faith for salvation, mm-hmm. and I have that, but I want to be able to move mountains with Absolutely. My faith. And mm-hmm. that's something even this whole situation with Mimi is teaching me, is just like to believe for miracles, Absolutely. To expect miracles every single day. And I want nothing less. So guys, get ready to be activated. Just tune in, hone in on this. You're going to love it. Watch this.
I'm going to preach something way different than how I typically preach today. I'm actually going to do a theological teaching today. Yeah, exactly. Like, oh, you're not. No, I am. I am. I'm pretty smart. I mean, you know, actually I'm not, but I have the gift of wisdom. I do. Amen. You don't got to be smart to have wisdom. You really don't. It'd be better if you were smart in some things, but I honestly, guys, I want you, if you would please, to open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter six. There's that scalded cat again down there on the front row. Love her. It's good. You go, girl. Hebrews chapter six is where we're going to be at. And Hebrews chapter 6 starts off with therefore, which means we're going to have to back up now into Hebrews chapter 5. So if you found Hebrews 6, go ahead and turn back into Hebrews chapter 5. And I want to start at about verse 8 is where I'm going to start. The writer of Hebrews, which I've got a good argument that I actually do think that is Paul, but a lot smarter people than me say, you don't know what you're talking about, and I'm like, I just really think it's Paul. I just do. But it's a fun argument as to the mystery of who is the writer of Hebrews. He's saying this in verse 8, talking about King Jesus, that though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And then having been perfected or meeting the completion of his assignment, that's what perfected means. He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. He actually became the blueprint for salvation for all of us who obey him. Called by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, not according to the order of those clowns at the temple in those days. It says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. I want to stop and just say this, that Paul begins to introduce his frustration that you guys should already know this stuff. You should already be way further down the line. And then what we find in the book of Hebrews is a tremendous call for maturity. We say, listen, you have got to get past some things and get into the race. The race is not the race towards salvation. The race is past salvation, and it is a kingdom race to build the kingdom and to present Jesus with many crowns. So then he says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need somebody to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, because you've come to need milk and not solid food. In other words, your tummy cannot handle what Jesus is offering to you. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, because he's a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Solid food is for those who mature, he is saying. He's saying that solid food is through training, those people have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. So in Hebrews chapter 6, as we move over into the next chapter, in this, he continues with this call of maturity. So he says, from there, let's move forward. And then he says, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection. I want to tell you again, perfection is not flawlessness. Perfection is the completion of your assignment. I'm not talking salvation. I'm talking the kingdom. And I'm going to challenge you over and over as I continue to teach this to know the difference between the gospel of salvation and the gospel of this kingdom. It's two completely
different things. One is inviting you to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ that you might enter in and have access to the kingdom. The other one is that you become a person of impact that makes a difference within your lifetime. Amen. So he says, therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to the completion of your assignment or perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. Stop. I'm going to have so much trouble getting through all this, but because there's so much in it. Do you know, it's sad to me that our seminaries produce pastors that think it is their job to get you saved and to keep you saved. That is not what I think. I'm not going to get up here and try and teach you to be saved over and over and over again. It's like, well, I need that. Then listen, then this church does not need you. Because you need to be an outreach recipient. What we need is a bunch of kingdom players that are not playing. They know that they're saved. They're full of the Holy Ghost. And they're a bunch of bad motor scooters. And they're taking on hell with a water pistol. And they're taking names. And they're not playing. We're not sitting around, well, I'm not sure if I'm saved. I need to hear one more feel-good salvation message. No, you need to hear a message that says, get your butt off of the couch and make a difference while there is still time. And this was the frustration that Paul was dealing with in the day that he was living in. He says, look, why should we have to continue to lay down the elementary foundations? Okay, you guys remember elementary? Weren't you littles in elementary? We were littles when we were in elementary. I was a little heathen is what I was. Yeah, okay, well, there comes a time where we're supposed to leave elementary school, and then he begins to say, these are the things that if you're going to be a teacher and if you're going to be a demonstrator of the Word of God, you should already have these things down. Now, you listen to these things, and then you tell me if you think that the American church has these elementary things down. Here we go. He says, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to the completion of our assignment, perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith towards God. Amen. And then of the doctrine of baptisms, the doctrines of baptisms. Most of the body of Jesus doesn't even believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They're like, nah, that doesn't concern me. Just like they do trafficking. There's a day, and I want to just tell you this, guys, be filled with the Holy Spirit, be a drop-dead, sold-out Jesus freak that is full of resurrection power, be somebody who believes and actually sees and demonstrates signs, miracles, and wonders, and all of these people who make fun of you, they will call you when they get a cancer. They will call you when all hell breaks loose, because at the end of the day, you're not going to rely upon somebody that you trust has good theology. At the end of the day, you're going to rely upon somebody that knows the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he goes on to say, the next one he says, the elementary principle of laying on of hands. This is little guy stuff. The elementary principles of laying on of hands. What? The transference of power, the raising up of men and women of God within the body of King Jesus, the elders of the church healing the sick. These are elementary principles. These are not, you know, the 15th echelon of the highest order of the outer limits of the deep things of God. These are not the deep things of God. This is the milk. This is for babies. That means that your children can operate in these things because it's for babies. Amen. And then he goes on to say from there, he moves on, of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. My goodness. In verse 3, he says, and this we will do if God permits. He's like, look, I don't mind visiting these things. I don't mind speaking on these things. I don't mind on going deeper in all of these things. And if time permits, we'll do these. We will revisit all of these elementary things. But then he says something. Now, for 2,000 years, the body of Jesus has been arguing over what the next verse means. And there's a lot of different camps. And I'm going to read through it, and then we are going to unpack this. This is going to be fun. He says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the power of the age to come, that if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame." What? Wait, we're going to come back to it. "For the earth which drinks in the rain that often comes up on it and bears herbs and useful for those of whom it is cultivated, well, he receives blessings from God. But if it bears thorns and briars, it is rejected and near to being cursed, whose end is to be burned." I want to stop. Paul says, or the writer of Hebrews says, he says, "I really want to call you into a full maturity for the completion of the assignment that Jesus has given you. And what I see is that you're not doing your assignments because you're still trying to wrap your head around fundamental things. You've camped out in a place where you will argue over this and that. Is this necessary? Do I need that in my life? Is that for me? Was that only for the apostles? Was there some kind of dispensation where that worked? Or does that work for me today?" And all this is like, dude, but you're not doing the kingdom stuff. And what it all comes down to is, if you're bearing good fruit, well, there's a blessing. And if you're not bearing good fruit, there's a burning. Now, moving back before that, and I'm going to tell you what that burning is, okay? Because the verse before that has created this tremendous argument in the body of Jesus that works like this. Is it once saved, always saved? Or is it once saved, you better stay saved? What is it? And I'm going to present both cases to you, and then I'm going to tell you what I really believe that this is saying and why it applies to your life today. Now, the Calvinistic view of this is, once you're saved and you put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are eternally saved, meaning past, present, and future. While I am no big fan of Calvin, I cannot ignore his mighty contribution to the body of King Jesus. And I praise God for it. I like, you know, the 5 points of Calvinism. I don't know if you've ever studied those things. And by the way, when you do, don't hang out there because it'll make you meaner than hell. That's a biblical word, by the way. That's every Calvinist I've ever known, or you can't even sit at the dadgum table with them. So with that said, they have a great argument when it comes to this theology. Okay, they have a great argument. And I want to just tell you that you can find a whole bunch of scriptures that really back up what it is that they're saying. But there's another group of people that's known as, well, they're Arminians. And, of course, the Muslims have done everything that they can do to exterminate them from the planet. And they're still around. Praise God for Arminian Christians. But the Arminians, they have another view. And the other view is this. Okay, it's good that you're in, but, brother, you better stay in. You better stay in this fight. And they actually have a view that is, hey, man, if you go through a faith quake and you go through a big mess, you might not even be able to be saved again. So you have these two different camps. And like, okay, well, they don't have any scripture to back that up. Oh, the book of Jude, the entire book of Jude backs that up. Well, wait a minute. And a whole thing of work out your salvation with fear and with trembling. Like, okay, Pastor Troy, come on, man. You don't believe that, do you? Well, I'm going to say what I believe. And I'm going to throw a wrench into everybody's theology here in just a minute. I'm going to take you to the Troy Brewer messed up school of theology, where I will be called a heretic after I get through preaching this message. No, it's okay. It's okay. So these two different camps of, okay, am I secure in my salvation If I'm putting my trust in Jesus, can I count on Jesus to keep me there? And then another thought of this, if Jesus goes to the trouble of saving me, filling me with his spirit, can he count on me to stay with him? Because both of those things are very, very, very true. And again, you can find all kinds of scripture for both camps. But the problem with theology is we tend to build a denomination according to our theology. And our theology is, while it may very well be Bible-based, it also is based on the construct of believers that we hang out with and our personal experience and how we just reckon things to be. So we tend to form a culture based upon our theology. Before I get off into the doctrine of this theology and where I believe that you and I should land, I want to say this. I wouldn't trust your theology as far as you can throw it. I would trust Jesus. Like, whoa, Pastor Troy, you don't believe in sound theology? Of course I do. I mean, I'm responsible for sound theology as best as I can. But I'm a flawed human being with very limited knowledge, with very little education. And I'm somebody that is probably going to think I've got some things figured out, but it's not right. Well, Pastor Troy, how do you know that? Well, I don't know that, but I know that just in my experience with Jesus, I have found Jesus in a glorious way in places that were not correct, but I found Jesus in it. Like, and then when I grew up, I went, oh my gosh, I was so wrong. Jesus, you were so good to me to put up with me while I was believing that and acting like that. I mean, I've gone through so many stages in my walk with Jesus. I don't know if you guys will pick this up, but I'm a little bit high strung. Well, okay, well, this is me at 60. Can you imagine when I had 10 times as much testosterone and I was 20 years old? And I want to tell you right now, I did a lot of street preaching, and I got in a lot of fist fights because people would be disrespectful to me, and I would just beat the brakes off of them. Like, you can't do that. No, you can't call me that. And that was my attitude. So just because I love Jesus does not mean you won't leave here with a limp. I was crazy, and I'm sorry. Poor Leanna. She'd just start crying. I'd get in a fight, she'd start crying. She'd just start crying. Man, I can tell you so many times, man, terrible things that happened. I mean, dude, one time I was coming back, and I was coming back from South Texas, and South Mexico. I was coming back from Veracruz. I was with Pastor Gino Zagara. We were in a vehicle, and the cartel stopped us to kill us, and they jumped out in the road right in front of me. And do you know what you do when somebody jumps out in the road with you, in front of you with a gun? You turn them into a speed bump. Well, I'm old enough now where I might even feel bad about that. Now, I would still turn them into a speed bump. But I mean, I went through so many stages. I went through a very Calvinistic stage in my walk with God, and I got real mean about it. And I have gone through all kinds of stuff in my theology. Here's what I can tell you, all right? And I first heard Bill Johnson say this about 15 years ago, and I think it's one of the most brilliant things I've ever heard. Jesus is perfect theology. Jesus is perfect theology. And what's real is, you got to know Jesus. You got to know him face to face. You got to know him all the time. And you'll learn theology from just following Jesus. Not that we shouldn't study the Word of God, because, guys, we are held responsible for that. Okay, so please don't think I'm saying we shouldn't have sound doctrine and that we shouldn't have good, solid Christian biblical theology, because we should. But here's what I'm going to tell you. You're just making a stab at it. I don't think y'all like that. It's kind of like practicing medicine. Yeah, you're going to practice medicine. You're not going to heal everybody. You're going to practice theology as well, and you're not going to get it all right. But here's the good news. You don't have to. You just got to get it right that you know King Jesus. When Jesus spoke to the person on the cross, he didn't have a theological discussion with him. The guy just said, I want to be with you. And he said, that's good enough for me. And you will be with me. There was no theological debate. There was no leading him into a sinner's prayer. There was no, hey, let me get you off this cross and make sure you're baptized. There was no signing up for a church. There was just simply this guy who had a revelation of who Jesus was. And he said, Lord, I want to be with you. And that was his only prayer. That was his only request. And that was enough to get that brother saved. Because Jesus is perfect theology. If you see Jesus do it, then do it. If you see Jesus have a priority for it, then have a priority for it. If you see Jesus have a heart for it, then you should have a heart for it. So getting back to the argument of, is it once saved, always saved? Or is it once saved, you can still fall out? I'm going to tell you my trick for this. And it actually goes like this. If you can find a whole lot of scriptures saying once saved, always saved, and you can. And if you can also find a whole lot of scriptures that says you'd better finish this thing, and you can, that tells me it's both. Right. It can't be both. Yeah, you can't be both if you're all about theology. Now, if you're about how the kingdom works, it most certainly can be both. And when it comes to theology, no, it can't. But when it comes to how the kingdom works, let me tell you why I allow for both. Because Jesus knows the reality of the heart of every single person. And there are some people that I truly believe that even though they make their bed in hell, he shows up for them. Yet I believe that hell is full. Like, well, how does that work? It works. He knows those who know him and love him. Not according to what they're going through. Not according to if they finish well. Not according to if they have preached the gospel. Not according to if they've got all their theology right. He knows who knows who loves him and who wants him and who doesn't. And he fights for those who do. And so I think the book of Jude is real. Talking about that, man, you better be careful, dude. Angels, they knew God, and they left their first estate, and they're toast. Hey, dude, you better be careful. The children of Israel, they left Egypt, and they were delivered, but they died in the wilderness. You don't want that to be you. There's a reason why that's in there, because that's also real. What's real is there is a tremendous responsibility that we have that once we know Jesus, we got to mature and we got to be about running the race and fighting the fight, not for salvation, but from salvation. Because see, we don't need to, I want to give you this scripture, and this is good enough for me. 2 Timothy 1 verses 12 through 14. Paul says this, for this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Okay, I believe that. I really and truly do. Now, I also believe I have a tremendous responsibility. Now that I'm not acting like a baby, and I've got identity issues, and I've got daddy issues, and I can't trust the Lord because I was a bad boy yesterday, so I'm probably not saved today. Please get out of the elementary principles. Get over your bad self. Get over your mess. Get over your hurt. Learn to forgive. Because, here it comes, you will face a fire in heaven, and it's called the Bema Seat Judgment. And let me tell you what the Bema Seat Judgment is. It's not the Great White Throne Judgment. You will not have to face the Great White Throne Judgment. You are blood bought. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, but you will face a judgment. And the judgment is called the Bema Seat Judgment. So you don't think of it in terms of, you know, like a judge on a throne or a king on a throne. You think of it like the Olympics. It's the reward section. And that's what the Bema Seat Judgment is. I've actually been to Corinth, and I have been to the rock that Paul was talking about, and it still says the word Bema on it. And it was where, after they ran their races and they did all their things, it was where they stood and the guy put the Stephanos on their head. The crown, which is Stephanos, which is where you get the word Stephen from, and he's the first martyr. He received the crown. Amen. So he's, it says Bema on it. It's like, man, look, the Bema seat. Gosh. Okay, so what happens at the Bema seat? The Word of God declares that all of your works that you've done will be piled up in a big pile in front of you, and then it's going to be lit. It's going to be set on fire. And the fire is going to either leave gold, silver, and precious stones, or it's going to burn up wood, hay, and stubble. And then the Bible says, if anything remains, you will receive your reward. Like, well, that's okay, Pastor Troy. I don't need a reward. Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about. Because your reward is not for your benefit. Your reward is for God's benefit. It's his crown you're going to hand to him, and you turn to all the universe and say, I told you he was good. I told you he's awesome. I told you there's nobody else like him. I proved it. Look. And if you can't do that on that day, it's not going to be good. You got to be able to do that. You got to be able to do that. That you don't need to, I don't think you need to fear the fires of hell. But I think you better fear the fires of heaven. Because it's all going to get lit up. And it had better glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, whenever we're talking this kind of talk, what we're talking about is the difference between salvation and the kingdom. And that is a great mystery to the American body of Jesus. I mean, it's a huge mystery because all pastors in America think their job is to get you saved and to keep you saved. And that's why you hear a salvation message every single Sunday over and over and over again. And that's why the body of Jesus lets our country go to hell. They won't even get up off their butt to vote because they can't do anything. They've got no power. I'm just an old sinner, and I'm a wreck all the time. But I'm putting my trust in Jesus. Get up in Jesus' name. What are you doing? You got kids, you got grandkids, you got a wife, you got a city, you got a town, you got a state, you got a county, you got a nation, you got a generation. You can wake up, old sleeper. Right? Like, well, I just need just a little bit of cabin on the outskirts of heaven, man. That's all I need. Oh my. I want to throw up in my neck. That is not humility. That is outright laziness and rebellion against a God who came and died on a cross for you and said, you're as saved, as saved, as saved, as saved, as saved, as saved, as saved as you can possibly be. Now get up and take the kingdom to the four corners of the earth. Take on hell with a water pistol. Make a difference. Do something awesome. Change people's lives. Feed somebody. Shelter somebody. Rescue somebody. Bring the power of the Holy Ghost, and you think Jesus is going to be okay with you hem-hawing on, I'm not sure if I'm saved? You think that? You don't know him. He's not a hippie. He's not okay with that. Let us not revisit the rudimentary and elementary principles of the oracles of God, but let us move on to the completion of our assignments, perfection. So because we got this thing of salvation, we got the gospel of salvation, which again, Jesus is perfect theology. Out of all the 153 people that Jesus led in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John into the kingdom, same number as fish in the net. So miraculous. So cool. Because the Bible wasn't written yet. So out of the 153 people, Jesus preached over and over and over and over and over again, not salvation. He preached salvation to one guy, a guy by the name of Nicodemus, in a private conversation on a rooftop in the middle of the night. In the daytime, he screamed, the kingdom, 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 the kingdom. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And because so many of us, as American Christians, we've spent so much of our life wondering if we're saved, we don't even look into the things of the kingdom. And that has to stop. It's got to stop. You will listen to these clowns that tell you, don't be involved in politics because you don't understand the kingdom. You will listen to these clowns that say, you don't need to come out here and interfere with our mess. And yada. You'll listen to that because you don't understand the kingdom. And in the kingdom, there is a fight for warriors. You got to be a warrior in the kingdom. You come to the Lord as a baby for salvation, but you face the world as a warrior for the kingdom. And you do both of those things at the same time. The only way that we can approach God is as a child. So you're childlike, but man, get it that you belong at the table. Get it that you have an inheritance. So we get all these things messed up, and there's like this word salad between the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom. For example, one of the things that just even the understanding of faith. Okay, faith unto salvation is different than the faith to move mountains. One is the gospel of salvation. The other one is the gospel of the kingdom. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, so faith unto salvation is belief and trust in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ personally. That's faith, and that's faith unto salvation. Does anybody here love and trust the Lord Jesus Christ personally? Let me see your hands. Okay, you're saved. Even though you might be a train wreck, you're saved. You're saved. But let me tell you what the other kind, the faith in the kingdom has to do with faithfulness. And it is a gift. It's a gift. So you have the gift of faith unto salvation, but you also have the gift of faith to move mountains, where you are able to be a supernatural visionary. And everybody else around you does not see it, and they do not get it. And then, man, you go through years of loneliness trying to convince everybody, I see this thing. I know that God can do this thing. I believe that. And they're like, man, you're nuts. But you're the guy that saw it. That is to move the kingdom forward. So, like, if the only faith that you have is unto salvation, because, man, I'm just trying to just get me a little cabin off the back skirts somewhere, the backwoods of heaven somewhere. That's all I care. No, you're supposed to believe that Jesus is so awesome that you can put your trust in him, and you believe in the works of the cross of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, and you believe that he literally split hell wide open and said, there's no place here for old Troy Brewer. You got to believe that. Now, what you got to believe is this. You see somebody, and suddenly you have a gift of faith towards that person. And like, I see something better for you than what you have. I see the Father's heart for you. And oh my God, he loves you so much. All of my team that was in the Dominican Republic this week, we had several operators, and Pastor Schwartz was there. Of course, Pastor Suwanami was there. We had several other people all went to the DR this week. And we're working on a bunch of rescues. We're working a special investigation trying to shut down a big ring, and we're on it. So they went over there to check all that out, and also to visit our rescue teams that we're now partnering with. And there's this guy by the name of Fernando that is just absolutely amazing. He's just, by all accounts, I'm going to tell you, my team loved him. They're like, oh, listen, I love this guy. These guys are so legit. And the authority that they have within the government of their own nation is crazy. It's like what the Lord is doing with us now. And it's like, man, that is a move of God. You can't make those kinds of things happen. Well, while they were there, Pastor Suwanami FaceTimed me. Now, when she FaceTimes me in another country, it's because she has a rescue girl. And this happens all the time. I mean, like right now, she's in Durango, Mexico. So here, today, tomorrow, I'll get a FaceTime, and it'll be, hi, Papa Troy. I'm like, hey, how are you? Like, you look so good. Oh, my gosh. Well, this little girl was a 15-year-old little girl, and the phone rang. I saw his FaceTime. I was like, hey, guys, watch this. We were filming, and we're making a documentary, and I was like, guys, stop. I got to take this. And there's a 15-year-old little girl. She has been trafficked her whole life. She has a 3-year-old child. And we rescued her just a couple of weeks ago. She was one of those girls that we rescued when we rescued the 76 in the Dominican Republic. And she gets on the phone. She's never seen me before. And this is what Jesus did. This is how miraculous this whole thing is. She sees me and she starts crying. And I just, you know, I don't know, you know, what's going on. I don't know what she's been through. I don't, you know. And then Swami's asking her, why are you crying? And she's like, he looks just like my daddy that died when I was a little girl. And she said, Papa Troy, talking to you, this is her words, and my friends are watching, they'll verify this. She cried and she said, talking to you is like somebody dialed heaven and I get to talk to my dad. I had never seen this girl before in my life. I didn't have nothing to do with it. It was just what King Jesus did. She recognized the Father's heart in me towards her. That, I had nothing to do with that. Well, then old Schwartz started bawling. I don't know if y'all have ever seen Schwartz cry. It's so butt ugly, man. I mean, that brother, he starts blowing snot everywhere and the big Nephilim nostrils that he has. But we're just like, see, that's a different kind of faith. It's not faith unto salvation. It's visionary faithfulness. Another word that we get messed up all the time and is the word grace. Grace unto salvation is different than grace activated in the kingdom. Grace unto salvation is unmerited favor. I mean, it's like you can't, there's nothing you can do to qualify for the grace of God. It's by the grace of God. Now that grace, this supernatural portal that God gives us access to across 2,000 years ago, that's called the grace of God. And it's also known as unmerited favor. But let me tell you what the grace of God looks like if you're not trying to be saved anymore. God Almighty will give you a grace which is supernatural ability to do things. In the kingdom, it's always about supernatural ability to do things. But specifically, the word for that is grace. So some of you guys, you know, you came out of Marlboro country by the grace of God. No, that's good language. You're like, man, just suddenly I had a grace to lose weight. That happened to me this year. Suddenly I had a grace to do this, or I had a grace to do that. Suddenly I just had a God-given ability to overcome something. Right? So see, in the kingdom, if you're still like, well, I just don't know because I don't know if I'm saved yet, Pastor Troy. I don't. Okay, what that is you are avoiding your assignment. And it's not okay. Either get saved or go to hell. How long will you halt between two opinions? What are you doing? We need you in the fight. The king wants you in the fight. And you're going to have to put these foolish, childish things away of, well, how do I know that I'm saved? Why don't you get to know Jesus? And then you know, then you will know that you are saved. Well, what if I get before him and he says, depart from me, I never knew you. Then get to know him. And then he won't say that. That is the easy, everybody like, that's the scariest verse in the Bible. Not if you know him. That's silly to me. Now, the scariest verse in the Bible is, to me, is what it says about Samson, where it says, and he went out as before and knew not that the Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. He was so carnal and he did not fear the Lord. He thought that he was just his own rock star party and God had to be involved in all of it, and he didn't. Yikes. Everybody just say yikes. Another word in the word salad between the difference between the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the kingdom is the word righteousness. Okay, if you are going into salvation, you do not present your righteousness. You present the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you do. You present the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because that righteousness has to do with his standard of holiness, and there is none righteous besides him. You guys agree with all that? Okay. See, I'm telling you, I'm not a heretic. I'm just telling you, I'm not missing the kingdom that so many good Christian people miss. Okay, so what is righteousness, though, in the kingdom? Righteousness in the kingdom is about how you are rightly aligned in the assignments that God Almighty gives you. So the Hebrew or the Jewish understanding of righteousness, of Old Testament righteousness, besides the righteousness and the holiness of the standard of God Almighty himself, is, does it fit with the thing that it is assigned to? For example, you have these laws where you say, okay, if you get a hole in your daggum pants, you're not allowed to take that kind of cloth and put it on this because that is unrighteous. It means it doesn't match. So another way to understand it is, you know, I'm a John Deere guy, and the reason why I'm a John Deere guy is because Tanner Sellers, who is Pastor Jerry's son, works for John Deere. So we got all this John Deere equipment, okay? John Deere is too expensive. It's like owning a dadgum Harley, you know? And I've also got a Harley. Hallelujah. But it's like, the thing's too hot. It's too dadgum loud. It makes too much racket. But it's still a Harley. I'll go. Okay. But with that said, too, you cannot take a John Deere tractor and say the water pump goes out, and then you go over to a Kubota and you take off the water pump and put it on the John Deere tractor. That is unrighteousness in the kingdom. That's what it is. It means a mismatch for the assignment. So that's why you come across King David. I mean, I want you guys to listen to this. Jacob says in Genesis chapter 30 to Laban, he says, my righteousness will answer for me in the time to come. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about, I'm going to be in the game, and I will conform my life and this. I will conform my life to the image of God's plan in this assignment, and it's going to speak for itself. My righteousness. It's not righteousness of salvation. It is faithfulness for assignment and being the match for it. Have y'all ever heard anybody preach this before? Yeah, this is the word of God. I'm telling you. 1 Samuel chapter 26, here's King David. Listen to this. 1 Samuel 26, may the Lord repay every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. If we're talking about righteousness of salvation, there is no man with the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about may the Lord repay every man according to his loyalty and his perfect match to the assignment that God Almighty gave him. So once again, in the kingdom, it's about you better get up and do something. He says, King David also says in 2 Samuel 22, verse 21, he says, the Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness and according to the cleanliness of my hands. He has now reconciled. Who does David think he is? He's a guy who says, I might be messed up, but I didn't bell. Oh, I've really been a train wreck, but I've been faithful to the Lord in the midst of my assignment, and I have not belled. That's what your righteousness is past salvation. 2 Samuel 22, verse 25. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness. He says it again. He actually prays prayers. He says, Lord, judge me according to my righteousness. Look at this, Psalm 7 verse 8. In the kingdom, this is what it looks like. The Lord shall judge the peoples. And then he says, judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity within me. Are you kidding me? See, if you come from an American church, you're like, yeah, the ground's going to open up and you're going to go straight to hell. No, because he's not talking about salvation righteousness. He's talking about his match and his loyalty and his faithfulness to his assignment that God Almighty gave him. That's what he's talking about. In salvation, it looks like Psalm 7, verse 17. So David understood salvation righteousness too. He said, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. So he knows the difference. And I'm going to ask you, do you? Do you know the difference? What will it take for you to be saved and to stay saved? And to get in the game and to get in the fight and to make a difference for your family, for your generation? What will it take? Because how much more can Jesus die? See, this is a call, and the call that I close on, and I want to ask the band to come up here. The call that I want to finish on is this. Move away from childish nonsense. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and get in the fight. I'm telling you, you are not radical enough. I'm telling you, you're not. I'm not radical enough. You're not radical enough. I want to be able to stand before the Lord and God Almighty pile it all up my entire life and say, here comes the torch. Are you ready? And I say, okay, Lord, let's go. Kabam! We're like, woo, son, that's a heavenly fire. And I want there to be a mountain to yet remain and say, Jesus, that is your turf. That's not mine. That is yours. Friends, if you're not saved, you can finish that today and you can give your heart to Jesus. If you are saved, you can step across the line and say, I will no longer visit these rudimentary and elementary principles of me just like, well, I know my dad didn't really love me very much, so God probably don't love me very much. And I know my mom, you know, didn't think too much about me, so, you know, the church is never going to think anything about me. And I don't know, I keep failing and I keep failing and I keep failing. Dude, your hope is in Jesus. It's not in someday you will get your act together. Your hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then the grace of God will give you God-given ability to overcome all things. And you will no longer have to be just in hope, I hope someday I'm saved. You will now have a faith that you stand up to a mountain and you say, do not pass go, do not collect $200, just go to hell, go directly to hell. You will move. I will not stand for you to be here any longer. In my house, in my family, in my generation, you'll have the audacity to believe that God is that good. Let's give Jesus a great big praise. Hallelujah. A good friend of mine by the name of Frank. Everybody stand up if you would, please. Thank you. A good friend of mine by the name of Frank, he grew up in Boston and his family was in the mafia. And when he graduated high school, his grandpa called him over. He said, you graduated, Frankie boy. And he said, yes, sir, I did. And he said, well, Frank, are you in or are you out? And as he was standing there going, they were literally inviting him to dedicate his life to being a criminal. And about that time, his daddy came running in. They were in some bar. His daddy came running in and yelled at his dad and yelled at his family. He said, we have agreed since the time he was a little boy that we were never going to present this to him. You're out, Frank. You're not in. You're out. And he's like, I don't know, Dad. It sounds pretty cool. It's not cool. You're out. Now that I've said this, I want to just ask you this. When it comes to heaven and when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, are you in or are you out? I'd say I'm in. And it's time for you to live like it and to accept the challenge and to accept the faith and to accept the power of the assignment that Jesus has given you that only you can do. And I'm doing mine. I'm trying. And it's not flawless, but I don't have a priority for it to be flawless. I have a priority for it to be perfected, which means completed and finished. Paul said he finished his race. At the end of his life, he said, man, I did it. I finished my race. I fought a good fight. I did that. It wasn't about salvation. It was about his work for the kingdom. And it went all the way to the palace of Rome. And he's like, yeah, that was the assignment that Jesus gave me. And then he closes the book at the end of his life. And he said, those of the faith greet you, especially those of the household of Caesar. He just finished his last letter by saying, I did it. I actually got a hold of Caesar's dadgum family, and I reached them for Jesus. I got a good. I fought a good fight. I did good. It wasn't flawless. Boy, it was a mess. But man, I didn't bail until I completed the assignment that Jesus gave me to complete. So let the beheading begin, and let's get it on. I'm done.
So good, you guys. I hope that blessed you. It truly is time to stop making excuses for not living how you're called to live. And that really convicted me. I literally wrote that down. It's time to step out in faith. Be kingdom-minded in everything Absolutely. That we do, guys. I hope that sermon was a charge to you. And why don't you take this opportunity and share it with someone who needs it today? I know we have so many people within all of our spheres of influence, our social media friends, guys. And there might just be someone that you are connected with that needs this message today. So please take this opportunity. Share it with someone today. Thank you so much for joining us, guys. And we're going to be right back here, same time, same place tomorrow for another episode of The Pulse, guys. But until then, I call you the head, not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Guys, we'll see you tomorrow.